The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, are you ready for some football? You ain't ready for no football. You ain't ready for the Oakland Raiders. It's the invasion of the Oakland Raiders. Are you ready for some football?
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome to the Black Hole Banner Podcast. My name is James Arcelon. I'm here with your boy Q. Say what's up, man.
What up, Raider Nation? We're back with you one more again. Excited. I didn't know if I was going to be able to record today because I had a dentist appointment and ended up getting a root canal, but just like Charles Woodson, I can play while I'm injured, so it's all good. I'm gonna tough it out, and we're gonna have a good time talking Raiders. Let's get it.
Real trooper here for y'all.
That's right. It's what we do.
All right, everyone. So since we last talked to you, they had a couple moves by the Raiders. Most significantly, the one that happened just last night. And it's funny, man. I feel like this offseason, our planning of these podcasts has just worked out perfectly, time and time again. Seems like we record right after big news hits. And once again, Reggie Nelson gets signed by the Raiders last night. We're here to talk about it.
Absolutely, man. And that was a move that had been anticipated for a couple days, and then all of a sudden it didn't happen, and a lot of fans and a lot of people started getting a little nervous, like maybe it wasn't going to happen. But if we learned anything from the Sean Smith signing, sometimes these things take time. And so that I really didn't get too panicked about it, but I thought it would be a good signing. But since the offseason's gone as well as it has, I really wasn't worried. Like if he decided not to go to Oakland, then okay, that's all right. You know, we just missed out on that one. But since the offseason has been so good as it has been, I really wasn't worried about it. Without all that being said, now that he is in the fold and he's locked in for the next couple years, that's a great look for the Raiders and a great guy to have back there to mentor someone young that we might possibly pick up this coming to draft.
Yeah, man, I'm completely with you. Hit the nail on the head. Reggie Nelson, after the amazing start to this free agency period, Reggie Nelson was really just icing on the cake. But let's be real here. Who likes cake without a little icing on it, right? So, I mean, it's a great topping. He's the type of guy who just is the perfect finish to the free agency period. No, he's not young like Irvin, Assembly, and Sean Smith, but the Raiders could actually use a little bit of that veteran presence after losing Charles Woodson and losing Justin Tuck, and they also clearly had a huge need at safety. So it's a great signing. I'm really excited about it. You know, I actually recorded with 95.7 the game earlier today talking about him, and I mentioned on there, I'm going to mention it here too, this is going to be the Michael Crabtree of this year. You know, last year at this time, after most of this stuff had finished, you know, and most of free agency cooled down, that's when the Raiders grabbed Michael Crabtree, who may have been one of their best performing free agents. And I think similar things going to happen with Reggie Nelson.
Yeah, I got to agree with you 100%. And the thing about it, man, is when Charles Woodson retired, obviously safety was a big hole, and you can't replace Charles Woodson. I mean, you just can't replace the dude he is. That's just impossible. But production, you can get close to replacing production. And that's one thing that Reggie Nelson had last year. He had 8 interceptions, and that tied the league lead. So the production is there. So Raider Nation, yeah, we lost a great one in Charles Woodson. We lost an instant Hall of Famer, and you can't get that back, but you can get production on the field, and that's one thing that Reggie Nelson brings is production. He is that guy, and he knows how to get it done, so that's something to get excited about.
Yeah, man, he was a little bit of a late bloomer. He was a first-round pick by Jacksonville, actually under Jack Del Rio. Started off strong, but then struggled a little bit and ended up getting traded for basically nothing. Fell in Jack Del Rio's doghouse, and they got rid of him. Was reborn in Cincinnati and had his best year this past year at the age of 32 when he had the 8 interceptions you talk about and made his first Pro Bowl. So, you know, he may be a little bit older, but he's also hitting his stride and playing his best football right now. He's durable. He doesn't miss very many games. He played all 16 the last couple of years, and I think it was something like missed 2 out of the last 4 or 5 years or something. Durable player, production, like you said, veteran presence. You know, one thing that I heard from him that I loved, you know, I just mentioned he was in a doghouse with Jack Del Rio when he was in Jacksonville. He said he's excited to come back and play with Jack Del Rio because he's a different guy now than he was when he was in Jacksonville, which is, you know, you want to hear. You want to hear the guy who's talking about the fact that he's matured, he's better, and he wants a second chance with that head coach that got rid of him.
That's awesome. That really is awesome, man. That's good news. And really, I mean, sometimes that's how it is. Sometimes you are a late bloomer, you know, and sometimes you have to go somewhere else before you become a quality player. I mean, you look at David Emerson last year for the Raiders, you know, he was cut. He was a second round pick that was cut, and Washington just didn't hold on to him very long. They just bounced him right out of town, and he ended up being the Raiders' best defensive back as far as corners was concerned last season. So sometimes, you know, it's just a different area, different scenery, you know, realizing that, hey, I better get it right now, or I might be bounced out this league, and you figure it out. So, you know, that's a good thing, man, and I think that he's got something to prove, and he probably wants to prove something, like you mentioned, to the coach that got rid of him. So that's a win-win situation, and again, it's only a two-year deal. Obviously, it's front-loaded, like Reggie does so well, and on top of that, I mean, he's that veteran mentor. So, you know, if the Raiders go ahead and draft a safety, which I do expect sometime in this upcoming draft, he's not forced to go in there and be the stud right away. He could kind of learn the ropes and then come in. And pretty soon, man, this is going to be a super young team, and they're all going to be hitting their stride right about the same time, and that's something to be excited about.
Yeah, man, and that's kind of the key in my mind, and I was talking with someone about this the other day. The timing of this all just seems kind of be crazy because the young guys are hitting their stride and should be, you know, getting better and better just as the Broncos are on the downfall. They've dominated the AFC West for a few years now under Peyton Manning, but he's gone. They don't know who their quarterback's going to be. They lost a whole bunch of free agents. And meanwhile, as they're on the downfall, the Raiders are just hitting their stride, and it's really perfect timing. It's amazing the way it's worked out.
Right. It's been a really good thing, and now that the Raiders know where they're going, I mean, this is the thing that the Raiders have that other teams don't have. I mean, they know who their quarterback is. They know who they're head coach is going to be. We do believe that we know who our defensive coordinator is going to be. We're pretty much solidified. Like, we know who our guys are going to be. Now, obviously, we've talked about it before that, you know, offensive coordinator, he needs to do a little bit better this season, be a little bit more consistent. But pretty much, we know that our staff is intact, and that's something that has been lacking in Oakland for a long, long time. I mean, it's been constant turnover, constant turnover, constant turnover, and that you can't have. You never win with consistent turnover. So now that the Raiders can actually have consistency when it comes to the head coaching, when it comes to the coaching staff in general, and when it comes to the most important positions on the field, quarterback, running back, wide receivers, I mean, those guys, lines, offensive lines and defensive lines, the Raiders are built to be winners, and they're built to be winners for quite a while.
And speaking of consistency and on the defensive line, there's another signing that we haven't talked about since the last time we recorded Black Hole Banter, and that's the re-signing of Aldon Smith. You know, guy who had some real problems in his early career, like we talked about Nelson did, and he's trying to find the right path, and the Raiders are trying to be there for him and with him as he tries to find the right path. And if he does, boy, oh boy, is it going to be worth the patience that the Raiders are showing right now.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And, I mean, it's a signing that I expected to happen at some point. I mean, to be honest, it surprised me that it happened this soon. But I realized that other teams could have signed him. And so the Raiders felt like they needed to make sure they kept him in the fold and kept him locked in. And, I mean, that's a good thing. That's a good signing. And we all know that he can't play till at least November or he doesn't even get a chance of getting reinstated till November. So he's not going to make an instant impact. But honestly, I mean, when you look at it in the long run, I mean, he'll probably help out next year more than he will this year. But, I mean, just for this year, you can look at it like kind of like the Warriors have Iguodala coming off the bench. You know what I mean? I mean, he's not going to be a dude who's just going to come in there and get 10 to 12 sacks because, one, he's not going to have that much time. But when he finally gets back in and when he finally kind of gets back into, you know, game shape and everything and gets reacclimated with what the Raiders have on the line, with the guys that they've brought in, I mean, now he's just going to be basically a beast that's just, I mean, when the ball is snapped, he's just going to go. You know what I mean? It's not going to be a whole lot of thinking because there's too many weapons all over the line. It's not like the offensive lines can key in just on him because you got Matt coming from one section. You got Irvin coming from this spot. Then you got Smith coming up the middle. I mean, you know what I mean? There's just too many dogs coming in, and they ain't got enough guys to block all these guys. So it's like a starter coming in off the bench where you know he can start on any other team, but basically this dude's going to come in situations when he's needed the most until he's, you know, back into game shape and everything. So, I mean, it's like having a Pro Bowler but coming off the bench. So that's an extra luxury that the Raiders haven't had.
Well, and also it comes at a pivotal time. You know, this is a team that you and I have said numerous times we're expecting big things this season. We expect them to push for a playoff spot. And so having being able to add a Pro Bowl caliber pass rusher that late in the season when you're trying to make a playoff run, that's huge. Mm-hmm. And if you can bring him off the bench, like you said, and just add that extra flavor, so especially late in games, guys are tired, giving other guys a breather, you know, that would be huge. I agree with you. I think the most he has to offer the Raiders is going to be further down the line after this year, because he needs to get his life in order, needs to get back into football shape, and also needs to bust the rust off. And that's not going to happen, you know, if he comes back in November. But further down the road, he's still young. He still has plenty of years left in him. If he can get his stuff ready or stuff right, he got tons of years ahead of him, and hopefully they'll be in silver and black.
Right, exactly. And you have to think that it's a good chance they will be in silver and black, because he feels really good that the Raiders took a chance on him when they didn't have to take a chance on him, when others in the league were questioning taking a chance. So he realizes, like a lot of guys that get second chances, that hey, he's been given a second chance, he better not blow it. And I honestly think that there's something about the Raiders and the organization and Ken Norton Jr., and I know Justin Tuck was pivotal in bringing him to the Raiders to begin with, but I think that he feels at home there and is comfortable with the people around him, and realizes that, hey, I do need to get my life right. So, you know, if they're able to save this young man, not only football career, but just his life in general, I mean, that's a victory for him. But if you can get him back on track football-wise, that's a victory for us. So, I mean, all in all, we all have something to win. He has to win his life back, and we have ball games to win. So he can help in that, and we can help him. So, I mean, it's a good look. Really, it is. And I think he's going to do right by the Raiders.
Yeah, and I do like the fact that the Raiders are sticking with him. They're trying their best to help him out. Clearly, there's obviously some selfishness to it, because clearly, like I said, if he can get back to form, it's one hell of a football player you're adding to your team. Mm-hmm. But they're being very patient. They've signed him to a contract that I think is pretty darn fair, considering, because he has a chance to earn good money. I mean, real good money. He's going to have to earn it. You know, he's not just going to get it. But he has a chance to earn good money, and so the Raiders have really given him every reason to want to stay in Oakland. They've been supportive. You know, they've been trying to help this kid get back on the straight and narrow. And you know, again, that doesn't happen a whole lot in sports. You know, a lot of guys are just thrown out to the trash, even if they do have great talent. So I'm happy to see the Raiders doing that. I think, you know, he's a guy who, in the right situation, can get his mind right and can be productive. And hopefully, again, like I said, that happens in silver and black, and the Raiders are paid off for their patience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's something that I think, you know, when we look back at it later on down the line, we're going to be like, you know what, that was a damn good signing. And that's all, you know, that's all we can hope for. And I think that he's going to prove that's going to be the case sooner rather than later. So I'm pretty excited about that. And really, overall, man, I've been really pleased and happy with the moves that the Raiders have been making all offseason. And, you know, I'm not too overexcited, like, oh, man, we're going to go win the AFC West. Like, I mean, I've seen a lot of people jumping on it. Oh, there's no chance anyone's going to win but the Raiders. Now, look, you still got to go out there and play the games. I mean, we realize that, but the direction that they're going in this offseason has been pretty nice. I definitely have to say that.
Yeah, so let me ask you, given that, right, they've filled a hole on the offensive line. They brought back another hole, or another player who would have been a hole in the offensive line, Donald Penn, added a pass rusher, added a cornerback. Now they've added safety. Heading into the draft, have they done enough that you think they can go best player available, or they still need to attack needs like middle linebacker, maybe a second running back?
No, I think that best player available, and honestly, I mean, I think at our last podcast, I was saying the best player available is probably the best way they can go, because they've already done enough where it's like, okay, you're pretty solid at where you needed to become solid. Now, obviously, there's still a few holes to fill, but they're not big holes. You know, they're a lot closer. The gap is a lot closer than it was when the season ended. So I think that sitting at number 14, they can still go best player available. We've talked about a lot of players that are you know, would be open at that spot if they're there. I know I was real high on Ezekiel Elliott. I've come to the realization he won't get past number 8. He won't be past number 8. If you think that he's going to be there past the Eagles, you're high as a kite, because it's not going to happen. I mean, they moved up to that position number 8 for a reason, and they're going to take that running back if he's even there then. So as nice as that would be to see him in silver and black, I just really, really don't think that that's going to happen. Now, you know, there's some other options that are going to be there at 14, and if you've been following me on Twitter, and you can follow James at Raiders Reporter, and you can follow myself at your boy Q254, if you've been following either one of us, you've probably seen a few conversations that I have, and the young man out of Houston, and I know Raider fans get nervous when you see University of Houston, and a defensive back. But I would not be opposed to seeing William Jackson III being drafted even as high as number 14. And that's a guy, honestly, before the all the pro days and the combine and all that, before that part of the offseason really got going, I was thinking that you could probably get him at number 14 in the second round. But now that he's got his stock has started to rise, and now that he did really good at the combine, and then he followed that up with a great pro day, he's not going to be available in the second round. And I was thinking at first maybe we could trade back to round number 20, 22 and get him, because I was thinking he'd still be around there. Don't think so, Raider Nation. I do not think so. If you're not too sure on him, go look at some video. Just go do University of Houston. They weren't on TV a lot because of the conference that they're in, but there's a lot of video out there. You watch William Jackson III. He's tall. He's got long arms. He has ball skills. Ball skills being the key word there. He creates turnovers. He doesn't just stop the guy, the receiver, from catching the ball, but he has ball skills where he makes plays. That's something that the Raiders need. That's something that Ken Norton Jr. needs in that defense. And honestly, that's a guy that I would love to see drafted at number 14 overall. And John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, dude's been covering the NFL for as long as I've been alive and then some. And I actually talked to him today on my radio show and asked him about William Jackson III. And I'm just going to let you hear, Raider Nation, what he had to say about him.
Let me ask you real quick about a guy that plays out there in Houston, or played out there in Houston, William Jackson III, defensive back. What do you know from being in Houston? What do you know about him and how well he plays?
His stock has been soaring since he ran a 4.37 at the combine. He's a big corner who can run. I think he'll be the third corner taken. I think he'll go in the top 20. Most people have him going to, like, Kansas City. I've got him going as high as Oakland to 14. And he's bigger and faster than Vernon Hargraves III. He's the second corner. And he's as big as Jalen Ramsey, and he's faster. So I think he's going to be a surprise pick. And he'll go a lot higher than the so-called experts seem to think in their mock drafts.
And, you know, before anyone has a chance to say it, let me start up you right now. I don't care that he plays at Houston. The fact that DJ Hayden played there has nothing to do with this kid. That's as nonsensical as people saying that Derek Carr shouldn't have been drafted because he was brothers with David Carr, right? Different players. Totally different scenario. Had to get out there because a lot of people on Twitter have been saying that over and over, and it drives me nuts. We've talked about John McClain before. He's a guy who is a reporter in the NFL, even though he just covers Houston, is respected throughout the league. He's a guy whose opinion I highly value. I know Q highly values it. He's there in Texas, in Houston, so he knows what he's talking about. I have not watched enough tape, admittedly, on him. I'm going to go back and watch him because I've heard so much from Q about him. Right now, for me, you know, obviously, if a guy like Zeke or Miles Jack falls, I'm tripping over myself. I think you're 100% right. They're not going to make it that far. Right. But that being said, you know, I was saying over and over and over again, there is no way Khalil Mack falls to the Raiders. There is no way the Raiders get him, and they did. So you never know. The draft is a weird thing. It's a, you know, weird thing, but no, I'm not putting money on either of those guys being available. So the ones that are available, a guy who I've been looking at recently, Darren Lee, catches my eye. But there's more guys that catch my eye that I don't want at 14. Conklin is a guy I don't want at 14. Mm-hmm. Raglan is a guy I don't want at 14. There's a few guys whose names have been tossed around and mentioned with the Raiders that I do not want. And my concern right now, and I think we may have talked about this before, is that 14 to me is a little bit of being out in space, because good chance that you don't get a top 10 player falling to you at 14. Good chance that a lot of players sitting at 14 that you'd be interested in are really valued more between 18 and 25. And so, you know, ideally you trade back, but is anyone going to want to trade up? Is there anything there that could trade up for? So, you know, it's going to be a tough position for the Raiders to be in. Easily the hardest position Reggie McKenzie's been in the first round, having a 14 pick instead of someone in the top 5, top 10. So it's going to be really interesting to see what he does with
that. Yeah, no, it is going to be really interesting. And one more note on William Jackson III. Your man and my man, who does a good job at cover32.com with you, T. Biggs, he did a good player profile on him, and you can go back and check his workout on William Jackson III, and he really breaks it down really well. So any Raider fans they want to do that. T. Biggs does a great job covering the draft. So, you know, just check out some of his work, and you can read up on him and see for yourself and see if you'd like him there. I'm telling you right now, man, what the Chiefs got with Marcus Peters last year, the Raiders can get with William Jackson III this year.
Yeah, man, that makes me excited about him, just saying that. And let me go ahead and double down on Terry. Terry writes for me at Cover 32, and this dude has been writing profiles for college players since the regular season the Raiders began. He's probably got something like 50 profiles up on the site right now. So if you're looking for all kinds of names to consider and look at leading into the draft, check him out on the website. He's got tons of profiles up, and that's enough plugging for now. So I want to talk about, you know, you got your little draft crush, as it were. I got my own one, and he's not a first rounder. He's a second rounder, I think. I hope he falls to the second round, and that's Carl Joseph. This dude, especially now that we've got a free safety who's going to play deep center in Reggie Nelson, you know, I don't want Nate Allen playing up on the line as strong safety, and I want him as a backup right now. You put in Carl Joseph to add a little thump to that secondary. Oh my word, that would be a beautiful, beautiful addition in my mind.
Absolutely. No, I'm with you 100% on him, and that's another guy that I covet in the draft and think that he'd be a great fit with the Raiders. And he's coming off that ACL surgery, so he possibly could be very late round, first round, or he could fall into that second round. And if he falls into that second round, and when the Raiders come to pick, I think they'd be foolish to let him get by. I'm with you 100%. That dude is a thumper. He's a playmaker. Man, oh man, he was a solid stud out there for West Virginia. And then when he went down, man, it was like, whoa. It was unbelievable. That whole team just took a you can hear the air come out of their sails when he went down. So yeah, man, that's a big time player right there. And I'd be doing backflips, and I don't even know how to do backflips, but I'd be attempting backflips if the Raiders were able to pull him off in the second round.
And anyone out there listening, if you haven't heard of him or haven't taken a look at him yet, go watch it. Go watch some tape, because this guy just reeks of Raiders. You know, yep. He's got that kind of swag, the way he carries himself. You know, he just reeks of being that enforcer that the Raiders haven't had in their secondary in a long time. Hard hitter, playmaker, like you said, causes fumbles. He just, and you know, when he hits you, you go down hard. And so he makes statements in the backfield in the run game. He makes statements in the secondary. He would be a beautiful
Raider. Yeah. Without a doubt. That's a no-brainer. That dude, I mean, that's funny that you mentioned him, because you either were reading my mind or I was reading yours, because I was thinking that too. Like, that is that would be the dude, man. That would be solid, especially knowing that the Raiders do have a need at safety. You know, I mean, really, I mean, and Reggie Nelson, and it's funny because with the signing of Reggie Nelson, it made me think that, man, that would be perfect, where he wouldn't have to be forced into instant action, and he can make sure that he's 100% right. And I mean, that would just be a perfect fit. And then boom, you got a Reggie Nelson for 2 years, maybe only 1 year, who knows, and then you could completely turn it over to Joseph. And man, oh man, he could be that guy. And like you said, man, he just reeks of being a Raider. So I would love to see him lined up in the silver and black come the 28th, or actually he'd be second round, so that'd be the 29th. But either way, man, I mean, draft time, Joseph, he should definitely be a Raider. I'm with you.
Yeah, man, and there's a lot of defensive players in this draft that the Raiders can take advantage of. They've already added a bunch of defense, obviously, but it's still a group that needs more. They need linebackers. They need more depth. They need more secondary. And this draft is going to be a great opportunity for them to fill all those needs. So it's going to be really exciting. I know I've been saying this for a while. I still have a ton of research to do, because I'm really only good on players for the first two rounds. But there are going to be players throughout the draft who you know are going to be impactful, because you saw what guys like Ben Heaney and Iron Ball did last year. The Raiders love finding good quality guys in the late rounds. And so we haven't talked about them yet, but I guarantee, come closer to the draft, we're going to have all kinds of late round players for you guys to be thinking on too.
Yeah, well, I know one thing. I know that all the Raiders and the Raiders scouts and all their coaching staff, they've been making the rounds to all the pro days. Small schools, big schools, I mean, all of them. They've been there. You know, every single day I'm doing a little bit more research and checking out every school that has a pro day. And, you know, hey, who was there representing today? Well, the Raiders were there. I mean, the Raiders are doing their homework. I mean, that's one thing. If Raider Nation wants to get excited about something, know that your team is not just resting on a 40 time, or is not just resting on the fact that, oh, he went to this school, so he must be solid. No, they're looking for players all over the spot. They're looking for him at small schools, big schools. It doesn't matter, man. They're looking for football players. And that's something that Reggie McKenzie mentioned a long time ago, that, hey, we want football players on this team. And we've been really concentrating on the defense. And that's something that Ken Norton Jr. has been talking about when it comes to defense. I want ball players. I want football players, guys that love the ball. And that's what they're doing, man. So they are out there doing their due diligence on all these players. And that to me is refreshing. It lets me know that they're out there putting in their work. They're not just, you know, slouching around and taking what Mike Mayock said off TV or what Mel Kiper said or what Todd McShay said. No, they're rolling with exactly all their scouts, and their scouting team is spread everywhere. They're putting in work, man. That's what excites me.
Yeah, man, you mentioned they're going to big schools, small schools, everywhere. Man, they're going to non-schools, because they were at Teron Beckham's, what was it, pro day today.
Yep.
And if y'all don't know who this is the cousin of Odell Beckham. He did not play football in college, played in high school, since then has been a personal trainer, and is just a freak of nature. He is the kind of guy that Al Davis would fall in love with in a second. And who I believe was Raleigh McKenzie, not Reggie McKenzie, was at his pro day. And if you watch any of the tapes, watch the man running the 40, watch the man pumping iron, you're going to see Raleigh McKenzie right there paying close attention. So the Raiders are leaving no stone unturned.
Yeah, and that's all you could ask for. I mean, really, just do the work. Go out there and do the work. I mean, you got guys that are out there that are just, you know, people like us that just love the team, love the sport, and we're putting in our work. Well, y'all are the team. Y'all are the scouts. Y'all are the ones that are putting the product on the field. So I expect your homework to be, you know, 100 times more than my homework is. And so to know that they're doing that is refreshing. And, you know, a lot of people are going to say, well, Q, everyone does that. No, they don't. No, they don't. A lot of folks get lazy, man. A lot of folks and a lot of teams just get lazy, and they have something that worked for them at one time, and they just roll with that. This is a new era of Raider football where, like you mentioned, no stone is going unturned, and that's good, because that's how you find diamonds in the rough. That's how you find those seventh-round picks that end up being starters for you. You know, I mean, T.J. Carey. That was a seventh-round dude. You know, Ben Heaney, he was a fifth-round dude. I mean, you're getting quality play from guys that are later in the draft. That is when you know that you're doing something right. And if history repeats itself, Reggie will find a way to turn, I think, what do we have, 8 picks this year? He'll probably turn that into 10. I mean, that's just what Reggie does, and that I can appreciate as well.
Teams do look at hundreds and hundreds of players, but I think it's become abundantly clear over the past few years that Reggie McKenzie looks a little bit further. He looks a little bit longer, and he digs a little bit deeper. And you want proof of that? Q already gave you a couple of names. I'm going to give you some more. Latavius Murray in the 6th round. Matt McGloin is a free agent. Seth Roberts is a free agent, and not only is an undrafted free agent, but one that many teams admitted they had never even heard of.
Yep.
Okay? Think about that for a moment. This guy started with the Raiders last year, had a pretty darn good year, and a lot of teams didn't even know who he was coming out of college. That shows that the Raiders really are taking it that extra step, and it's paying off.
Yep. You hit it on the head. I mean, you can't get no better than that. I mean, come on. Didn't know who the guy was, and yet he was out there balling for the Raiders last year. Yeah, I mean, that was smart. That's what they're doing. They're making smart decisions. And no, they're not going to hit on every single pick. I get that. I know that. No team does. But, you know, if you can get more than you don't get, I'm fine with that. And as of late, Reggie's been hitting on his picks. So I'm going to keep rolling with it and assume that he's going to do what he's got to do. So I'm excited about the moves that are being made. Free agency went really well. I think there's a great buzz around the Raiders right now. I think the team feels really good about themselves. They got some guys in there like Bruce Irvin. I love the fact that he's damn near a cheerleader for the Raiders. I mean, he's out there applauding every move that happens, and you could tell he's so excited about getting back on the field. He's just itching to hit somebody. So that's the kind of player that you want on your team, and that's what I'm excited about, is just the way that it's all coming together. And man, we got 21 days from right now before the draft, and then hopefully, fingers crossed, we make some more magic.
Yes, sir. And so one more topic that I want to touch on before we call it a day here, and we'll be back again before the draft. I promise we'll have, you know, some very draft-specific episodes, giving you tons of info and tons of time just talking draft. But before we call it quits today, I want to step away from the draft one second and talk Reggie McKenzie. You know, Reggie McKenzie's been getting all kinds of love recently from a lot of different people around the league as they've watched what he's done this free agent period. The guys on 95.7 The Game this morning, Haberman and Middlecoff, had, you know, I don't know if anyone knows, O.co stopped, opted out of paying for the name of the Coliseum in Oakland, so they decided to rename it Reggie McKenzie Coliseum because of how damn good of an offseason he's having. That being said, there are still a lot in Raider Nation who are not sold, who still need to see the team win. Okay, I get that. I want to see the team win. But in my mind, he's already sold me as a general manager who needs to stick around. And here's why. Let's say the Raiders don't win next year. Let's say they struggle. They even take a step backwards. Okay, what else would you have wanted to do in this free agency period? This right. free agency period is damn near perfect, and you can only do so much as a general manager. He's gotten them in great shape with the cap. He's found them, it took him two tries, but he's found them a great coach. He's found them some great talented players, their quarterback of the future, a defensive stud in Khalil Mack. He's made some amazing grabs or deals in free agency like Michael Crabtree, some amazing draft picks. So, you know, at this point, at some point, he needs to go onto the shoulders of the coaches. And I think in my mind, Reggie McKenzie has done his job in giving these coaches a team that can win. And if these coaches can't take it the next step, then what happens next, in my mind, is the coaches need to start considering their jobs at risk, not Reggie McKenzie.
No, I agree. Reggie's done a good job. I mean, obviously everything was a little shaky at first, but there was a lot going on. There was a whole lot going on. We ain't got to go through it. It was a lot of painful memories. We all know. But right now, I mean, it's April 7th, 2016. Right now, the Raiders are sitting in a really good situation. The cap is good. You know, they're not struggling with the cap. I mean, hell, the Broncos don't have a quarterback because they ain't got no cap space. I mean, if you want to be honest and know why they don't have a quarterback, because they don't have no cap space. You know, I mean, he's done right by the cap. He's done right by the free agents he's brought in, like you mentioned. Last couple drafts, he's done right by that. I mean, he's been doing what he needs to do. Brought in a good head coach. Jack Del Rio, heck of a job. Did I question him at first? Absolutely. But he showed it. He showed that he's a heck of a coach, and they're going to get it right. You know, I'm good with Ken Norton Jr. I think he's going to continue to improve. Obviously, Musgrave, he needs to be more consistent. That's probably the only thing I request out of him this upcoming season is to be more consistent with the play calling. When you got something that's working, stick with it. Make them stop you. Don't stop yourself because you don't want to call the same play again. If they can't stop it, run it. I don't care. So let's see a little bit more consistency. I heard Jack Del Rio already mentioned that. Hey, you know, we need to be a better running team. And honestly, the Raiders do need to run better. Murray, he ran over 1,000 yards, but, you know, he should have had 1,200 yards. So he needs to do better. Getting him a running back, a mate in the backfield, that would be really good. Someone that, you know, could spell him so he doesn't have to just be the workhorse all the time. And, you know, I think they'll be going in a solid direction. But Reggie's building it. He is building a nice little monster, to be 100% honest, man. I mean, he's building something that the rest of the league is taking notice. And believe me, man, the league don't talk about the Raiders until they really, really start making some noise. So for the league to be talking about the Raiders right now, and there hasn't been nothing played on the field, that should tell you something right there. The league does not give the Raiders any kind of credit for nothing. National media does not talk about the Raiders at all. Now you flip on the TV, you flip on ESPN, you flip on NFL Network, you know who they're talking about? Talking about the Oakland Raiders and all the noise that they're making. So, Raider Nation, I mean, hold your head up high. Know that your general manager is doing his work. Tell Mark Davis, send him an email. I don't know, meet him at Hooters and tell him that he needs an extension. Do what he's got to do, but make it happen, man. I mean, Big Reg, he's done a good job.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, Raider Nation, that's going to be it for this episode. We will have plenty more coming to you this offseason. Like I said, we're going to have plenty of draft talk coming up. We're also working on getting a special guest who is intimately familiar with Jack Del Rio and a couple other members of this coaching staff so we can pick his brain on it. And again, we'll be here, rain or shine, throughout the offseason, throughout the regular season, talking Raiders all day, baby.
That's what we do. It's Raider Nation, commitment to excellence. Black Hole Banter Podcast, that's what we do. We're here for you. That's how we roll.
Yes, sir. All right, Raider Nation, y'all have a good night. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
It's a way of life. Yeah. Raider Nation.
On top. On top. Down low. Down low. It's one way. That's through the black hole. Black hole. Game time. Talk is dead. Just win, baby. Enough said. On top. Top. Down low. Only one way. That's through the black hole. time. Hey. Talk is dead. Talk is just dead. Win, baby.